Father, we pray right now. We ask you, Lord, that you would be with all those who are on the front lines of this effort. And Father, we pray that you would protect them, Lord. I think of these pilots that are going through these airdrops from helicopter to fixed wing pilots. We pray for those that are on the ground. We see, Lord, the hundreds and hundreds, if not more, of firefighters that are out there on these ridge lines and all trying to keep down the fire. These amazing things we've seen today, these bulldozer operators driving these bulldozers right into the flames. Amazing. Lord, protect all of them. Lord, we know that our state is bankrupt. It's broke. We pray that somehow, Lord, you'd provide weather. We need rain. We're asking you to bring a rainy, wintry season for us. We need it so desperately. We pray, Father God, that in the midst of all this stuff, that you would speak to people. My goodness, Lord, I mean, I don't want to be a wacko about it, but this is a crazy time. So much is going crazy in the world. And Lord, we pray that in the midst of all of it, people would see your face, hear your voice, respond to your call. But Father, we do pray for those that have been displaced. We're trying to get word, Lord, you know. We're trying to get word from certain people that reside in this church. Their homes are in the canyon and in other places. Father, we pray that they're okay. And Father, we just ask you right now again that you would use all these things to speak to us. And Father, even right now as we can hear the aircraft overhead, that you'd protect all those people and that their drops, their airdrops would be incredibly accurate. Father, we love you and we thank you. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Grab your Bibles then this morning, if you would, and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, Luke 17. And we are in verses 11 to 19. I love God's timing. It's always incredible. I want you to know, just to make sure you understand, I didn't make this up. The title of the message, I had already written down before all the fires broke out. No, it's not burn in hell or anything like that. It's not that. No. No, the title of the message is Say Thank You. And you're going to see the reason why in a moment. In fact, in the count of three, can I hear you say thank you? One, no, on the count of three. I love your enthusiasm, though. On the count of three, just say thank you, okay? One, two, three.
Thank you.
That's what we should be saying to the Lord at all times. Amen. And in all things. And my friend, you might be sitting here today and you're thinking, not me, Pastor Jack, you don't know how rotten of a life I've had. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be looking at 10 guys in the Bible, 10 of them, who had it a lot worse than any of us. In fact, all of us combined would not have it as bad as these guys had it. These guys had it bad. And saying thank you. By the way, did you know that saying thank you? I did a little research this weekend and found out that saying thank you can actually cause a physical benefit to your body. Did you know that? Doctors have concluded this. That physically, when a person is by nature thankful or chooses to be thankful, it affects their demeanor, their outlook on life, which affects their heart rate, which affects how they cope with things. Did you know that psychologists have concluded that a person who is prone to be thankful or to see, in their words, a silver lining in the issues of life, have a tendency to not struggle with depression? That there's a direct correlation between being depressed and being thankful. Isn't that interesting? So we want to choose as Christians. The Bible tells us over and over again that we're to be thankful in all things, aren't we? Now, why in the world would the Bible tell us to be thankful in all things? Because number one, by nature, we are not prone to be thankful in all things. We are prone to complain. You cannot be thankful and complain at the same time. It's impossible. You cannot be a thankful complainer. Ain't gonna work. You cannot say, dear God, thank you that I get to complain about this thing. My dad used to tell me, again, I grew up in a non-Christian home, but my dad used to say, son, you always get out there and vote. Because if you don't vote, you can't complain. Well, you can't complain as a Christian about anything anyway, no matter how the vote goes. We are not to be complainers. The Bible's very clear about that. We are to learn to say thank you. And it's a discipline that we need to adopt starting today. And maybe today, this is a day where we might need to listen up more than ever before, because quite a few of you raised your hands about where you live in Chino Hills. Maybe when you go back, I pray not, but by the time we get back home today, will our homes still be standing? Well, what if they're not standing? We will thank God anyway. But this is a very key portion of Scripture because it teaches us something about the very nature of our God. And you and I need to trust in Him. Friends, listen. You can be the oldest seasoned saint in this congregation today, or you can be a brand new believer. I want to let you in on a secret to Christian growth. If you don't understand what's going on around you, press the default key. The default key, or the reset key, is this. You can throw your hands up and you can say, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand, but I'm going to trust in you. I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't know it, but I'm going to trust in you. The default key is I'm going to rest on the nature of my God. And every one of us as Christians, the brand new believer, has an amazing revelation regarding the nature of God instantly put within them. The Holy Spirit will begin to steer them, guide them, and lead them. And the seasoned saint knows that same nature, that when we can't put two and two together and understand what's around us, we can always lean and trust on the very nature of our God. So keep that in mind. Let's look at this study together. Open your Bibles there. Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. We'll go down to verse 19. And by the way, you need to have your highlighter ready. If you've never written in your Bible, start today. It's a great day to write in your Bible. And mark it all up. Because it opens up with three key words that, as the Jews say, even in Israel, they don't use the word coincidence. Did you know that? They won't use it. They don't believe in it. They don't have it. They don't believe in it. God does not deal in the realm of a coincidence. Why do we say that? The first three opening words, verse 11. Now it happened. You say, well, what happened? Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute, but it's this. Everything that's before us is well engineered by God. Now it happened, meaning that God has got a very specific thing happening, and here it is. As Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, mark that word certain, this is not an accident, it wasn't that village or their village, it was a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so as it was that they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned or turned around or metanoia. The word means made a 180 degree turn and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he, that is this man that's at Jesus' feet, was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Christian, jot this down. Romans 15. In Romans 15, verses 2-4, the Bible tells us, each of us should please his neighbor for his own good. That is, his neighbor's good. And build them up. Bless your neighbor. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you have fallen upon me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. This very portion of the Bible is written to you and I today, though it's 2,000 years ago, and it has to deal with 10 lepers. You say, Jack, what in the world do 10 lepers have to do with my life? Number one, symbolically, what does the sign of leprosy in biblical concept speak of? Sin. Right or wrong, true or false, it was a stigma, in some cases, an actual judgment of God. Do you remember Miriam, Moses' sister? She didn't respect Moses' leadership, began to question, began to go against his authority, and God struck Miriam with leprosy. And then, by the grace of God, he healed her. But that very picture is in the minds of the Jewish thinker. But throughout culture, there's this concept that you and I even struggle with today. When we look at somebody's life, gosh, they're really nice people. I don't know why he lost his job. And now his wife's got cancer. And his kids are lunatics. And his dog bit him. And his car caught fire. And his home just burned down. Could something be wrong in his life? Could there be sin in his life? Listen, we don't know that. We have no ability to know that. And we're not to even be thinking that way, but it does creep in. You can turn on certain so-called Christian TV, and they'll talk about this same thing. Well, you know what? If this is going on in your life, then maybe there's sin, or maybe you're a sinner, or whatever. Maybe, maybe not. It's not for us to judge. We cannot discern that. But this thing we know, in this life, difficult things happen. In this life, fires come. Earthquakes come. My goodness, California, don't you love it? You shake and you bake. Things happen in life. Well, what does this mean? I don't know what it means in your life or my life specifically, unless God says, hey, Jack, this is the reason why. But this I know. God is at work. He is sovereign. And there's a very important thing that you need to realize. Jot it down. Verses 11 to 12. We say thank you, church, because the Lord is at work. On the count of three, say thank you. One, two, three.
Thank you,
God, because you're at work. I don't understand everything, but God, your Bible says that you're at work in my life. You say, Jack, that's for the Christian. Yes, it is for the Christian. But for the non-Christian, God is at work in your life. You say, well, I don't believe in God. Too bad. He's not listening to you. He's still at work in your life. God is at work in your life. You may be today a person who's thinking, God's abandoned me. He's not abandoned you. He's at work in your life. And the number one thing is this. God is the one that sets appointments for your life and mine. He doesn't ask for our permission. He doesn't call us up and say, can I make an appointment for you or with you? Our sovereign God who loves you, He makes appointments in our lives. And He's got a very specific purpose. It says in verse 11, now it happened. Highlight it, mark it. This is specific. The Greek language implies that this was an orchestrated event planned by God Himself. It happened. It was an appointment. As Jesus went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Okay, first of all, you do not go from the region where He's at down to Jerusalem through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. When the Bible says that He's going through the midst of these two locations, something weird's going on. What in the world is going on? Let's put the map up on the screen. Take a look at this. In this area that Jesus is ministering in, He's up in the north. He's going to go to Jerusalem. I'm trying to hold this as still as I can. Okay? The direct route would be going down this way to Jerusalem. No problem. When the Bible says that He went through the area of Galilee and skirted or went through the midst or the border of Galilee and Samaria, He goes over this area, crosses the Jordan River, comes down this side, which is the area of Jordan, the kingdom of Jordan today, and He's on the other side before He crosses back over onto the western side of the Jordan River Valley. Why would He do that? Why would He go so far out of the way to get to His appointment, by the way, in Jerusalem? Do you guys all know what I'm talking about? Jesus has got an appointment with a cross on a Friday in Jerusalem. But He goes out of the way. Why? Because He's got an appointment with 10 men. And these guys are something. We'll learn a little bit about them as we go through this. But God is at work. He has an appointment in their lives, just like He's got an appointment in your life. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that good news? God is with us. Why? Because He's so committed. He's made an appointment with you, and He's not going to break that appointment. Everything almost presses in against us to cancel, break, change appointments. Life is so up and down all the time. God never breaks His appointments, ever. What he has said to you, Christian, he will keep his word, never changing his word. This world is constantly changing, and the way it's changing, it's going down fast. But God is constant. He not only sets the appointments, secondly, look at this, he's revealing himself to us in the midst of these things. It says in verse 12, there then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. He is revealing himself. And God is revealing himself to 10 lepers. Now, these lepers are men who have already suffered the label as being sinners. But what you don't realize about lepers is that the lepers are not allowed to dwell within the city limits anymore. Imagine for a moment your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, they've got leprosy, and according to the laws that be, your child, your husband, your wife, your mom or dad, they're examined and they're found to be leprous. They are driven out of the city limits. They dwell now in leper colonies, leper camps. By the way, I think there's still one remaining leper colony in the United States. And that is on the island of Molokai in Hawaii. Last time I checked, there was just under 200 lepers living on that little craggy rock on that part of the island. They were banished. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment. They're banished. They have been declared, according to Levitical law, chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Leviticus, unclean. You are contaminated. You are to take your belongings, whatever you can carry, and be one who dwells outside the city. You are unworthy to be among the congregation. You got to go. And they're driven. The great fear of that person contaminating others. And so they're driven out. Sin does that to us, by the way. It drives us out, drives us away from families. Maybe it drives us away from a husband or a wife. Sin will do that. Maybe you've let it into your life. There's this sore that begins to fester in your life. Turns out to be cancerous, spiritually I'm speaking, leprous. And it drives you out of your home. And they dwell outside the camp, the Bible tells us. And what does Jesus do? Notice this. Be encouraged, every one of us. Jesus does not avoid this certain village. He targets it. Imagine, on the donkey, assuming he's riding a donkey, we'll make some assumptions. He's got a donkey right there between the ears of the donkey. He's got a GPS stuck to the donkey's head. And his Father, in heaven above, satellites down to Jesus a certain location and a certain village, because just outside that village and its city limits are 10 men in great need. Their situation is hopeless. There's no way out for them. They're as good as dead. In fact, it would be better to be dead. But God is revealing himself. Jesus reveals himself. And so he's moving towards a certain city, a village. There in Leviticus 13:1, the Bible says, God spoke to Moses and said, when anyone has a swelling or a rash or a bright spot upon his skin, and that becomes infectious, he must bring himself to the priest, and the priest must examine the infection. And if the priest examines the infection upon the skin and it is found to be leprous, the chief priest is to pronounce him unclean, and the man is to be removed outside the city. What does Jesus do? He goes after them. A church is not a place for everybody who's got their act together. The world needs to hear this right now, right here. We are not a bunch of self-righteous, condescending sin sniffers and fault finders like we found out about last week. We're not those people. We are people who need the healing of Christ in our lives and the forgiveness of our sins. We've recognized, we're no different than anybody else, except in this. God has shown us our depravity. And we say, oh Lord, have mercy on us. And God awakens us to our need for him. We're like lepers today. You're either a cleansed leper, or you're still polluted. The Bible says Jesus died for all of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But not only that, in verse 12 we learn this, that he's closing the gap. Note this, he's closing the gap on our lives. And he's doing that with these 10 guys. Look at verse 12. It says at the latter end, these men stood afar off. Did you know they were commanded to do that? Leviticus 13:46 said that concerning a leper, they are to dwell outside the city, and they were to announce that they were unclean. When you were walking along and you were coming from one city to another city or one village to the next, and there were lepers in between those two towns, you know what they had to do? They were commanded, unclean. That sounds almost kind of sterile. Unclean. Today we would say filthy, rotten, contaminated, scumball, diseased, infected, plagued. Imagine, you had to announce it. And the picture of these people, according to historians, is that they looked like they were walking dead. Often wrapped, draped, many of them in a complete covering over their face. Because do you know what happens with leprosy? It begins with that irritation. The skin begins to turn colors, and it usually first attacks the extremities, the fingers, the noses, the ears, the feet. And it begins to be an irritant, then it begins to turn kind of reddish, then as the infection advances, it begins to turn gray, and then in the final stages, it begins to turn white. No more circulation. Nerve endings are dying. Skin begins to flake off because there's no more nutrients going to the skin. The skin begins to fall away. Begins to smell very badly, by the way. And they would wrap themselves. They look like walking dead people, walking mummies. By the way, much probably like these 10. Why would they band together? Do you know what they did? At night, they would wrap, they would make sure they were wrapping each other up to cover up their skin completely like a cocoon. But the last guy who made sure everybody else was wrapped up, he couldn't wrap himself up so well, right? So he lays in the middle of the group. Why? So the rats at night could not get to him. The rats would come and eat away the tips of the ears, the tips of the noses, the fingers, the feet. And you would never feel a thing. A rat tugging on your finger and you'd never know it. Because it's all dead, it's all numb. The infections would set in, eventually get into your blood system, you'd eventually die. It was a living death, a leper. Amazing, horrible thing. Isn't that a picture of sin today? You say, Jack, I don't know, what do you mean? Oh, maybe sin, the Bible says sin's pleasurable for a season. You all know that, we all know that. Hoo-hoo, she winked at me. Hoo, that feels good. Oh, look, he likes me. Or look, he's offering money. Or this, that, or the other. Oh, wow. And it's all pleasurable, the Bible says, for a season. Seasons change, my friend. Seasons change. And then the ravages of sin take over. And so, at first, when you touch it, there's no sensation. It's okay. But if you keep touching it, it keeps advancing. And up the hand, to the elbow, up the arm, there's no more feeling until you're completely engulfed by it, and now it's consuming you. You may have played with it at first, but now it's eating you. And so you wrap yourself up to hide. You go to work and you're somebody else. You hang out with the ladies and you're somebody else. You go to school, you're somebody else. Than who you are at church or in your community or family. Sin will do that to us. And these guys were completely wrapped up in their sin, so to speak. But God closes the gap. The Bible says they stood afar off, but Jesus is coming near. Aren't you glad about that? Point number two this morning. On the count of three, say thank you. One, two, three. Thank you, and here's the reason why. God is aware. Will you write that down? The Lord is aware of you and I and our situation right now. The Lord's aware. We're sitting here right now. Are you able to hear the helicopters? Can you hear those blades? Yeah, you can. What's going on? There's fire, Jack. It's not far from the church. What's going on? Listen, God's aware. Is my house okay? What about all the cattle on the hills? What about those horses? Are they okay? I don't know, but God's aware. What about the world economy? Everything's coming apart. Russia, the finances that are going on there. England, the financial dilemma that England's going through. Asia, the financial dilemma. What's going on in the protests around the world regarding marriage? What is going on? I don't know, but God's aware. And you say, well, Jack, that's great for you that he's aware of all that big stuff, but what about what's going on in my mind and in my heart? Oh, my friend, our God is an awesome, awesome scientist. See, all those big things might as well be telescope matters. God gets his microscope and zooms right in on your life and mine, and he knows. I don't understand it. Why are things going a certain way in my life and in your life? I don't understand it. But he is aware, and that is an important thing for me to remember, because look at verse 13. He knows all my needs. He knows your needs. Look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, send a doctor. Nope. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Why is that important? My friends, true or false, these 10 guys believed that they had been smitten by God. When they call out for mercy, notice they didn't ask him to heal him. Isn't that a fact? They didn't say, cleanse us, heal us, send help. What did they say? Have mercy on us. I think you've heard this story before. Napoleon, he had found out in a certain French village that there was a traitor in the village. And they found out who the traitor was. And they brought him out, and they were going to have his head cut off with the guillotine. He's a traitor, an enemy of France. And his mother, this young man's mother, threw herself on the boy's body and says, General Napoleon, Emperor Napoleon, mercy, mercy for my son. And Napoleon said, get her out of the way and kill him now. He's a traitor to France. And she's screaming, mercy, mercy. And Napoleon said, don't you understand? He's committed treason against France and he must die. Justice demands he dies. And the mother paused and she said, General Napoleon, I didn't ask for justice. I'm asking you for mercy. Maybe justice yelled out and said to these 10 men, you're dead. Maybe justice says to you and I, you're dead. Maybe you're caught up in all kinds of bizarre sexual things, and maybe it's adultery or homosexuality or whatever, fill in the blank, and the world is saying, you're dead. And Jesus is saying, hey, it ain't over till it's over. And Jesus is reaching out to every one of us right now, and he's offering this mercy. And these guys needed mercy. They wanted mercy, and they knew what they asked for. Thank God for these guys. We can learn a lot from them. They knew what they asked for. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for. But look at this. Verse 13. They lifted up their voices. I love it. Their leper lips. Their leper lips. And they cry out. And I love it. Do you think they care about what people think about them? Shh, come on, man. You're shouting a little too loud. I mean, keep it down, will you? Oh, no. They're loud. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They're desperate. This morning, are you desperate for God? Are you hungry for him? He knows our needs. Secondly, look at this. He tells us what to do. It's best we obey him. He knows. Will you trust him enough? This morning in the early hours, you can hear the fire truck clicking its, whatever its clicker button thing is. He wasn't turning on the sirens, but he was going, ah. And you could hear them in the distance speaking. Can you imagine walking out there? What are you saying? Evacuate, fire. Well, and you want to get into a debate with them. You want to get into a talk. Well, let's talk about that. What do you as a fireman, how do you define the word fire? Nobody would do that. Jesus is going to say something. And people stand around today, they're leprous white. They're contaminated with sin. And they go, now, what do you mean by that? Jesus, we're going to go to your Bible. We're going to look at it. We're going to redefine it. We're going to change it. We're going to tell you, God, what it means. You can play that game all you want. That doesn't change the existence that He is real and that His word is true, and life goes a lot better with Him. And He says, verse 14, go show yourself to the priest. Stop right there. Amazing. The Bible says in the day of the leper's cleansing or healing, he's to go to the priest. You got 10 lepers. Jesus said, go to the priest. Are you with me, everyone? Are you awake? Yes. This makes no sense to me. You can study it. Go home, look at it later. Read it. It makes no sense. These guys are full of leprosy, and Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. That doesn't make any sense to me. You ever have that situation going on in your life? When God says, trust me, and you give Him 1,000 reasons why you should not trust Him. And we lose every time. Have you ever debated with God and argued with God? Go ahead. But I'm telling you right now, He does not listen to our arguments. You know why it doesn't make any sense to me? Because these guys are still white with leprosy. They're still toxic. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Do you realize what kind of faith it takes? They're looking at their stinky, fallen off, nibbled fingers, ghost-like faces, wrapped up like in shrouds. And Jesus says, go, show yourself to the priest. And one of those 10 guys, or maybe all of them, church, if you don't get anything out of this message, get this. One of those guys said, let's go. They began to walk. They not only began to walk, according to the construction of this language, they walked away from Jesus towards the temple. We know also that 9 of them were Jewish and 1 of them was a Samaritan. You see, I thought Samaritans and Jews don't get along. They don't. One's a pure breed, one's a half breed. Samaritans are half breeds. Jews and Samaritans have no conversation with one another. Do you remember why when Jesus went to Jacob's well, who was there? A Samaritan woman. And she said, how is it that you being a Jew are talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Because she needed salvation. And so these guys are heading to the temple. Now, according to the Bible, they've been banned from going to temple. They can't go to temple. They can't be around people except other lepers. So they're on their way. But they could have said, excuse me, Jesus, we've heard about you. And all the ministry and the stuff that you've done, we've heard about you. And we even heard that you were coming our way. But you're asking us to go to the temple? Makes no sense. I'm asking you today, church, when you leave this building today, go make a difference in the world. How can I make a difference? Just like a leper possibly saying, how can I go to the temple? The temple's over there. It's right over there. Jesus said, go. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, oh God, please speak to me, Lord. Give me a word. Lord, I'm hungry for you. I want to know you, God. I want to have your direction in my life. Do you know what His direction is? Go. Go. And these guys get up and they go. And I'm wondering what's in their mind. What would have been in your mind? Are we going? Yeah, we're going. How are you feeling? I'm feeling the same way I've always felt. Oh, there went your finger. And all of a sudden, as they're going, because they could have had all kinds of arguments about, this is ridiculous. We are 10 lepers. We are 10 sinners. We are 10 failures on our way to church. Isn't church for all those holy people? No. Church is for the unholy people who want to know a holy God, who want to have a new life, who want to say to Him, God, I'm sorry for my life. I'm sorry for my sin. Hey, have you seen the movie Fireproof? I'm sorry, I just found out about it recently. We just went on Friday night. That's an amazing movie. Everything changes when the man says, I'm sorry. And when we say, I'm sorry, God says, all right, now. In their act of obedience to Christ, there's a lot going on emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in the hearts and lives of these people, and they're on their way. Look at verse 14. We know that the Lord is aware because He does what's best. It says, verse 14, and so it was, don't you love it? As they went, they were cleansed. Not healed, cleansed. In leprosy, you have to be cleansed before you're healed. Same thing is true for sin. You're not healed of sin. Brother, let me pray for you that God would heal you of this sin of... Oh, no, no, no. You're not healed of a sin of... You're cleansed from sin. Once you're cleansed from sin, you're healed. As they went, they were healed. Can you imagine? Like, one of these guys are walking along. Look, they're going along. These guys are walking along. They're walking. And the one guy just can't take it. And he's walking along and he goes, oh my. He's looking at his digits. Look at my hands. Maybe one of them pulled down their veil. Look at your nose. You've got your nose back. Dude, your nose is on your face. Let me see your ears. Yep. Whoa. Look at, we look like we got baby skin. One of them peaked. God had done a work. He always knows what's best for us, always. We don't understand it. Third point, verses 15 to 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, I wish if I were in this group, I want to be this guy. I want to be him. One of them. He can't take it. He takes a peek. And when he saw that he was healed, he returned 180 degree. And with a loud voice, glorified God. Watch it. Verse 16, fell down on his face at his feet, that's Jesus' feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The word means he was the Samaritan out of the group of 10. One of them was an unworthy Samaritan. Verse 15 teaches us this, that the Lord alone is worthy of our praise. You guys all know what praise is? Sometimes I wonder, because here's the thing. You can't, it's impossible to praise the Lord. Do I have your attention? It's impossible to praise the Lord when you complain. Can't do it. Praise is different than worship. For example, you've come here today and you have determined to come. Worship's premeditated. I am going to go gather with God's people. I am going to worship. I am going to worship the Lord. Irregardless of what's going on, I'm going to worship God. That's worship. Praise is what happens to you and I spontaneously. You might be walking down the street and something's going on, or you hear some good news or whatever it might be, or you see that sunset or God puts out that fire and you go, hallelujah, awesome, thank you, Lord, praise the Lord, yes, woo! That's praise. It just causes you're affected right then and there and you begin to praise the Lord. Now, look, I know that in a group of this size, there's non-Christians here, or they're like, praise the Lord and hallelujah, and what is that? That's Christianese. We're guilty of Christianese. We have our own talk. It's like this. How you doing? Waiting on the Lord. You know, people hear us in the store. Excuse me. Waiting on the Lord. What does that mean? Oh, hallelujah, brother. Praise the Lord. What are you saying? The world does not understand it. We understand each other. The world doesn't get it. And they can't get that kind of... They don't understand that. But friends, church, when we begin to tell people, you know what? And the world wants to hear it because they're hurting. You know what? You tell them. And we just can't say things like this. I'm just praising the Lord. Now, I appreciate when I hear that in our context, but when we leave these walls and somebody says, hey, how are you, buddy? All right, praise the Lord. They think, what a nut. They don't know what it means. We need to explain to them what it means. These guys were affected immediately. This man was touched by God, and instantly he begins to praise the Lord, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, loudly glorified God. Secondly, he's worthy of our thanks. I love this. I tell you, get your pen out because this will just blow your mind. Verse 16, look at it says. He says that the man there, he fell down on his face. You know what that means? It means he fell flat on his face. He planted his face down into the ground. He went... face first. But it gets better. Do you see the word at his feet? You see the capital H in your Bible? That's Jesus' feet. You see the word at? It's not the word at. It's on. The guy goes like this. I need your attention. Look at me. The guy goes like this. He's going along and he plants his face onto the feet of Jesus. First of all, the guy's unclean. He's not supposed to touch anybody. But now he's clean. Because as he went in obedience to Christ, he's been made whole. He takes his face and he plants it onto the feet of Jesus. Whose feet, I might add, will be crucified for this man's sins not many days from this moment, and for your sins. I love how graphic the Bible is. This guy is completely without shame in love with this Jesus who just touched his life. None of it makes sense. It's all very unorthodox the way it all came about. And you think he cares? Wait a minute. Jesus said, go to the temple and show yourself to the priest. Did the guy do that? He started to, but he had to turn around. Can you imagine? Let's go. And this one guy said, I can't take this. The temple can wait. I'm going to go back to him. And you go back to him. Plant your face at his feet. Because he alone is worthy of our thanks. And then look at this. Because the Lord is worthy, he's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. When the Bible says here, and we don't get it because we live here in California. We don't get it. When the Bible says that this man was a Samaritan, I'm telling you right now, if I read this verse in Israel, right now today in the 21st century, a Samaritan, ha! That's ridiculous. Samaritans are unworthy of salvation. Samaritans are half-breeds. Samaritans are mutts. You ever feel like that in life? He is worthy of worship and praise and thanks by all of us. The very people who are angry at us, and trust me, they would kill us if they get a chance. Protesting all of this violence that's going on, they have no idea that we love them. They have no idea that we love them. If they were hurt, bleeding, injured, the world has become so fragile, so ignorant, so blind, that if you stand for something that others don't stand for, you are somehow unworthy of the courtesies of human life. If Adolf Hitler was here today, would we hate what he's done? Absolutely. Would we like to see him hang for what he's done? Absolutely. But if he was bleeding, we would bind him up. The American soldier around the world, when the enemy's injured, we send our medics out in harm's way and rescue the very maniac that's trying to kill us. That is the Judeo-Christian value found in the Bible, my friend. You don't learn that anywhere else on the planet. Jesus could have said, you know what? That village, it's out of the way. Those lepers, they stink. Love compels, drives. Fourth, we'll end with this, verses 17 to 19. Say thank you because the Lord is salvation on the count of three. Can I hear it? One, two, three. Thank you. Because the Lord is our salvation. This is very awesome. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? That's kind of sad, isn't it? By the way, this is normal. Isn't there a lot of people? Yeah. Call a prayer meeting. Where are the 9? Isn't there a lot of people that attend this church? Yeah. But call a day of effort to do this or that. Where are the 9? It's just human nature. Jesus says, wasn't all of you guys cleansed? Yeah. Where are the 9? You know what it means? It means that by nature, we should be people who see clear enough to thank God in all things. Here's what we do. But I'm not going to say thank you because I don't feel like saying thank you because it just didn't go my way today. And so he says in verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Are you telling me that the Samaritan who's an outcast, rejected, this guy's not only a leper, he's a Samaritan, and he comes and says thanks? This is the guy. Jesus turns to him. Three things. One, the Lord reaches out to everyone. Make no mistake about it. Were there not 10 cleansed? God reaches out to everyone. You're not excluded. Number two, he reaches out to one. This man. This foreigner. This Samaritan. And then look, finally, look what he says. He reaches out to you and I personally. He says to the man, verse 19, arise. The word is what Jesus said to the dead. Arise. Talithikumi. Arise, little one. Come back to life. Arise. Hey, leper, wrapped up in clothes, stinky, worn out clothing, left for dead, abandoned by your family, no way, touch anybody forever, dead man walking. Arise. That's awesome. Number two, go your way. Go home. That's what I'm going to say to you in about a minute and a half. Go home. And you're to go home different. You're to go home today thankful. Why? Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Don't miss it. Oh, I see. The guy got cleansed because he had faith in Jesus and that's how he got healed. Nope. Impossible for it to be translated that way. Guess what? How many, listen class, how many people were healed? 10. One returned and gave thanks to the Lord. This one alone receives the words from Jesus, go, you're saved. You have received salvation. Go. And what about the other 9? We don't know. But we know this about the one guy. He experienced salvation. When Jesus says, your faith has made you well, it's not your faith made you feel better. The faith that you've put in Christ, this is the faith that has set you free. And I want to ask you about that today in your life. Charles Spurgeon, if you don't know who Charles Spurgeon is, you need to read Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, this is kind of a harsh statement, but maybe he's exactly accurate. If you have an issue with this, call up Charles Spurgeon. He's only been dead for about 200 years, so. Charles Spurgeon said that he doesn't think it's humanly possible for a true Christian to be unthankful. Spurgeon says that it's one of the hallmarks of a true believer is that they're thankful people, which makes them different in the world. They're thankful. They're not complainers. They're thankful. They have a new nature. What is it? They're thankful. Thank you, God. What are we going home to today? I don't know. But are we not commanded to be thankful? Yes. You will choose today to be thankful or not. I pray that you choose to be thankful to Him alone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your amazing nature. The nature of who you are is amazing to us. That leprosy in the scriptures, a picture of sin, you deal with it. As they went, they were made whole. Father, right now I pray that you'd move in the midst of this congregation. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians are praying, please. Today, maybe this message means something to you. Maybe this morning you're saying, Pastor Jack, I'm a leper. I have leprosy of sin in my life. I'm an adulterer, or I'm a fornicator. I'm a bank robber. I'm an arrogant man. I'm a judgmental woman. I'm a lost youth. Something, God is speaking to you this morning. There's some disease of sin in your life, and the Lord is saying to you today, this is exactly what you needed to hear. You know it. I don't need to beat the drum about it. You know he's speaking to you. And if that's you this morning and you need today to hear from the Master, go. Your faith has made you well and that you've trusted Christ. Heads down, eyes closed. People be praying right now. Will you raise your hand today if you're saying, Jack, I want my sins forgiven. I want to come to this Jesus that touched these men. I want him in my life. I want to give my life to him today. Put up your hand wherever you're at today. Be bold about it. God bless you. On the aisle, anyone else? In the back? God bless you. Over here to my left? One, three of you there? Anyone else? To my right, God bless you there. You, you, and you. God's speaking to you. If you were in that crowd, what would you have done? It's great to be healed. It's better to be on your way to heaven. Anyone else who has not yet raised their hand, you want Christ to forgive you of your sins. Awesome. Several of you over there to my right and right here to my left. You can put your hands down. For those of you who have raised your hands, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. It's not a magic prayer, but if you mean it, God will hear you. And you know what? Listen, we haven't done this in a long time. Those of you who are Christians, you want to pray it with them? Just, it sounds great from where I'm standing. Dear Lord, forgive me of my sins. Write my name in your book of life. I today confess you as my Lord and Savior, risen from the dead, Jesus Christ, Lord of all. In Jesus' name, I thank you now. And all of God's people said, Amen. 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 Listen, those of you who raised your